Your on-air automotive magazine with co-hosts Fred Staub and Les Jackson.
Control.
Everything you need to know about new and used cars.
Control.
Industry news. We'll fix or repair your car on the air.
Control.
Fasten your seatbelts and let us take the wheel.
Now, your ride is about to begin.
News Control.
Because you're on
Cruise Control.
Cruise Control.
Cruise Control.
Hello out there and welcome to Cruise Control, your on-air automotive magazine. It's us again. I'm Les Jackson. That's Fred Staub over there. We are rolling. We're whizzing right along in the Cruise Control van. We have a bunch of stuff to talk about this week, as we do every week, but it's kind of auto show semi-season at the moment again.
That's right.
Lot going on.
Yeah, there sure is, Les. And, you know, we're getting ready for the New York Auto Show. You're giving tours at the Washington, D.C. Auto Show. So we figured, well, let's talk about cars because that's what we do. And, you know, we're starting off this week with lots of news about the Mustang, including at the New York Show, the possibility of the reveal of an entry-level performance pony. Is this the return of the SVO? Do you remember that car?
I remember it very well. Pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ford has decided to build a Mustang-inspired crossover. They're still coming up with the name. And actually, you talked to an executive about that. We'll hear about that a little bit later, right?
That's right. And we also are going to talk about Jaguar's got plans for its XK8 convertible in New York.
Yeah, that was revealed in New York back in 1996, so it's going to do it again. Plus, VW builds the 30 millionth version of one of its models. We'll tell you what it is. 30 million, that's pretty impressive.
That's the all-time record. Mm. And talking tech, because we feel everyone needs a little tech.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, what's causing Cadillac's Super Cruise autonomous system to lose its mind?
Don't you just hate it when autonomous systems lose their mind?
Yeah, we really do.
Yeah, well, we'll find out about that. Plus, we'll take a ride in the all-new 2019 Toyota RAV4 Limited and give you an at-the-wheel review. And it was a pretty impressive vehicle, Les. I put that through its paces this week. All that and a whole lot more when we get rolling on this edition of Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine. That's the show you're listening to. And Les, I think you should have us start with a trivia contest question because we've got some Hot Wheels Camaros to give away, don't we?
We do, and I just happen to have a trivia question that if somebody gets it right, they can get one of those little cars.
All right, what do you got?
And the question is, it was a pickup truck that had kind of a flying wing cab rear end. It was called the Avalanche. Who made it?
All right, if you know who made the Avalanche, give us a call. When we come back, we'll give you that number right here on Cruise Control Radio. Your on-air automotive magazine with Fred Staub and Les Jackson. We will be right back. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. It's all there. CruiseControlRadio.com. We'll be right back.
Cruise Control.
And welcome back to Cruise Control Radio. That's the show you're listening to. I'm Fred Staub. He's Les Jackson. Cruising around the world, checking out what's going on in the automotive industry. Les, let's repeat that trivia contest question for our loyal listeners, because we've got a Hot Wheels Camaro here in Hugger Orange with black stripes, and we want to hear from some folks, right?
Absolutely. So we want to know who made this sort of interesting pickup truck with a flying bridge rear coming off the cab. It was called the Avalanche, and we want to know who made it.
Yeah, absolutely. It had miles of cladding on it. was almost
much cladding.
Almost completely covered in cladding. And people would wax it and it would turn white. It was like a big mistake if you did that.
That's right.
All right. If you know that answer, give us a call, 844-320-4299. That's 844-320-4299. And you can win yourself a Hot Wheels Camaro. 844-320-4299. Well, Les, let's get into this Mustang news because we've got a lot of it. And this is a vehicle I almost bought because I thought it was pretty cool at the time. It was the Ford Mustang SVO. Remember it? It had a, I believe, a 2.3-liter turbocharged engine. It had a weird bi-level wing. And it had kind of cool wheels that almost looked like zoom discs, you know, the full wheel cover, but it was actually a wheel. Like, it didn't have a lot of holes in it and all that in it. It was a kind of a entry-level performance Mustang, and they kind of tried to make it a little bit European, I guess, and certainly a little bit different than the Boy Racer V8 GT or other Mustangs offered at the time. Well, now there's some rumors out there that at the New York Auto Show, this is according to Motor One, that there will be a new entry-level performance Mustang variant, and it will probably have a turbo four-cylinder, and they could eventually bring back the SVO. And if you remember, that SVO stood for Special Vehicle Operations. And then it was changed to SVT. Remember that? That's when they out the Lightning and other vehicles like that. And then it went away. I think this could be pretty cool. Get the price down, performance-oriented, a little bit lighter in the nose. What do you think?
I think it could certainly be a winner. Mustang's going to be doing a lot of things, including an electric version.
Yeah, that's going to be a Mustang-inspired crossover, right? You were talking to some executive this week about it, weren't you?
I was. I was talking with a bunch of company executives this past Thursday. It was media day at the DC Auto Show.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ford exec was talking a lot about the Mustang SUV.
Mm-hmm.
He seems pretty proud of it. So, and the fact is, let's face it, SUV, crossover SUVs, if you don't make them, you got to make them. So, we know there's going to be a Camaro style SUV.
Well, actually, it is already, if you think about it, the Blazer, right? The new Blazer,
true.
You look at that dash, you look at the front end, it's just like what Ford is doing with the Escape. They're making it much more car-like, but it's still a crossover. So they're not making cars anymore, or making a lot less of the traditional sedans, at least over at Ford. But as they said, they're still going to build cars, but with a different silhouette, meaning a hatch in the back and kind of squared off in the back like a crossover, riding a little bit higher. But this could potentially be called, according to allfordmustangs.com, the Mustang Mach-E. So we'll have to see if that's going to be the name. Remember, they were going to call it the Mach 1, and that got purists upset.
I suggested another name. He actually solicited my suggestion for names.
Oh, God.
And I suggested Pony.
Oh, Pony would be good.
Yeah.
Pony.
And he liked that.
Mm. Hey, we have Pete in Santa Cruz on the line. Going to try this and see if he can win a Hot Wheels Camaro. Let's see if Pete's got this. Repeat the question for Pete. And
okay, Pete. The Avalanche. Who made it?
Hey, I think the Avalanche was made by Dodge.
Ooh.
Sorry, Pete.
Sorry, not Dodge.
Yeah, sorry about that, Pete, but thanks for calling in. Then it's still out there. Who made the Avalanche? 844-320-4299. It was very unique because it had a mid-gate, so you could basically fold the back of the cab down It had a short bed on the back, and you could fold the back of the, or the front of the bed down and extend your storage space. I remember somebody, I got one as a press vehicle, and somebody had carried mulch in there without the bag.
That might have been me.
That was a problem. But anyway, who made the Avalanche? 844-320-4299. Dial it, and you might be a winner. So you were talking about the Mustang crossover. It might be called the Mach-E. You like the name Pony. They're excited about this. And, you know, how much Mustang will be in it will be the interesting question. I mean, are they going to use the dash? Are they going to use the front end? Or will it just be Mustang flavored? What do you think?
Well, I think it'll be a lot of Mustang. I think that they want to be sure that everybody knows it's carrying on the heritage of Mustang. And there are certain key design elements you just have to have.
All right. Well, we'll talk about them when we come back on Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine.
Control.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Cruise Control. Les and Fred here. You're going to need some gas money.
Yeah, or maybe not. Maybe a plug.
Because we got, that's right. But we got a lot of cars to talk about, and they all, pretty much all, are going to run on gas.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's okay, because they're more efficient than they've ever been.
That's right. You were talking a little bit before the break, though, about this executive at Mustang. Of course, you are doing some tours this week at the Washington D.C. Auto Show, and you were at the press days,
right? And the executives are all in town because they're here to meet with Congress and have and meet with NHTSA and all of the policy makers, not just me.
You're the policy maker, okay? Yeah.
So that's why these big executives are here.
Yeah. Interesting, though. I think it will do well. I mean, the Mustang look is a cool look. It's a sporty look. I could see it built into a crossover. I really could.
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
It kind of lends itself to it, if you think about it.
Well, think about this. According to Automobile Magazine, the next generation Mustang, which might come around 2026 or so, maybe even later, is going to be based on an SUV platform. Yeah, this is what they call the CD6 rear drive platform. It's what's under the new Explorer and Lincoln Aviator. So guess what? It's going to get bigger, the Mustang. It's kind of funny how history repeats itself, isn't it? I mean, the Mustang started small and then got bigger as the 70s came in, right?
That's true. Then they started getting a little smaller again.
Yeah.
There is no end in sight to the public's demand for tall SUV-ish vehicles, and there seems to be no end in sight to the public's almost rejection of sedans.
Yeah, although there are a lot of great ones out there, and some still come.
Boy, we lament that all the time, but that's not what's happening. So. Why wouldn't the next one be essentially, the equivalent of a Cherokee?
Well, it's going to be kind of the size of a Dodge Challenger, is what they're saying. So we'll see how that all goes. Hopefully, they still maintain it as a vehicle you can see out of, as opposed to the Camaro, which I can't see out of. But
exactly.
Hey, let's talk about what Jag's got in the plans for the New York Auto Show, and that includes the Jaguar XK8, the XK8 Coupe and Convertible. Now, the Coupe was shown in 1996, and it looks like this is going to be making a comeback at the New York Auto Show. Very cool-looking machine. It always has been. I'm interested to see what's going to be... what it's going to look like. And they're saying it probably, is going to have a lot of the cues of the old one. We don't really know much about it, what's going to power it, but it's exciting to see it come back. I know I'm excited to see about it. Jeff Lawson says it was the most, that's their designer, chief designer, it was the most influenced by Jaguar's E-Type. That is my favorite Jag of all time. How about you?
Absolutely. Certainly one of the, arguably one of the most beautiful cars ever made.
Mm-hmm.
The XK8s are great fun to drive. Actually, they're a bargain on the used car market.
They sure are, and they still look good. I saw one the other day, and I was like, wow, this is still a swoopy-looking car, and it's, what, 20 years old? Something like that, I guess.
Yeah, that's right, because I had one back about 20 years ago. We drove to Norfolk, Virginia, to a wedding in it.
Wow, pretty cool. Well, we'll be looking at that and getting a full report for you on the Jag XK8 at the New York Auto Show. Also this week, interesting story from VW. Now, if I was to ask you, okay, they've built 30 million of this vehicle, a Volkswagen, what would it be? What would you think it would be?
I would instantly say the Beetle.
But you would be wrong, because it is the Passat, believe it or not.
That's just amazing to me.
Yeah, Passat, of course, their larger sedan. And they have built over 21 million of the Beetle. They've built the Golf, believe it or not, has actually, they built more of those, 35 million. But the Passat came before the Golf. I did not realize that. In the lineup. I thought the Golf came before the Passat. But this came off the line in Emden, Germany, and it was a silver GTE plug-in hybrid wagon. Wouldn't you love that here? Gosh.
Yeah,
a
boy.
Plug-in hybrid, 34 miles on electricity, and then, of course, it's a hybrid after that. Why can't we get that here? I think I would like that. Believe it or not, this vehicle is destined to be a press vehicle. So I don't think it will be in the press fleet here that we could drive it. But there you go. I was surprised that the Passat was one of their biggest selling vehicles. I really was. And outsold the Beetle.
I just never knew that the Passat was that old.
Mm-hmm.
I never recognized the Passat name until really the early 90s.
Yeah, I think it just wasn't here in the U.S., and that's the
I guess
difference.
Not. And, yeah. Of course, Golf, I would have guessed if the Beetle wasn't the number one, I would have guessed Golf.
Golf was presented in 45 years ago in the spring of 1974, but it wasn't called Golf over here right away, for sure. Yeah, interesting news, and I really wish we could get that plug-in hybrid wagon, but I doubt they're going to be bringing it here.
Well, yeah, there just doesn't seem to be the desire on the part of the American market.
For that type of vehicle, yeah. It's probably just automotive journalists. They should just have a whole category of automotive.
They should. They should just sell strictly to us.
They would just be all manuals and wagons. It would be
and station wagons, you're
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You're listening to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine. Les, you want to try another trivia contest question? Because we did have Pete try that in California, but we didn't get a winner. So let's
actually... No, we didn't.
Let's actually repeat looking. That.
Yes, we're still looking for who made the Avalanche, which was a pickup truck with a bit of a flying wing on the back and a bunch of interesting ways... rear window fold down, things like that.
Yeah.
It was pretty successful for a while.
It was one of a kind, really. Although another manufacturer made one.
Yes.
For a very short time. But we're looking for the main manufacturer here, the Avalanche, the manufacturer of the Avalanche. 844-320-4299 is the number. 844-320-4299, the toll-free number right here at Cruise Control Radio. And if you get it right, you can win yourself a Hot Wheels Camaro in Hugger Orange with those black stripes. It can't get more classic than that, can you?
You cannot.
Maybe you can, but we're not going to tell you about it.
Well, that's right.
Yeah. So, no, here comes no surprise, Les. The Chevrolet Corvette Grand Sport will lead the pack at the Indy 500. They've been running the Indy 500 for Chevys or GMs for the past 22 years. Of course, the good thing here with the Grand Sport, they don't have to modify it at all other than putting some strobe lights on it, because it can certainly get up to, what do they have to get up to on the
I believe 150.
150?
I think so.
Well, that can easily do that for sure.
Yep.
Ask me how I know, but we'll have more about that when we come back on Cruise Control Radio. Dial that number, 844-320-4299. Answer, who made the Avalanche? We'll be right back.
Control.
A large automobile or crossover or maybe an autonomous vehicle, Les. Want to talk a little tech? We like talking tech here on Cruise
Control. We can talk tech. Yeah. Sometimes autonomous works. Sometimes it doesn't.
But what we should work on first is another caller. Just repeat that trivia, if you would.
Yes. The Avalanche. Pretty popular pickup truck in the early 2000s. Interesting design, interesting features. But anyway, who made it?
All right. If you know who made it, give us a dial at 844-320-4299. That's a toll-free number, 844-320-4299. The toll-free number right here at Cruise Control Radio, 844-320-4299. Win yourself a Hot Wheels Camaro in Hugger Orange with black stripes. Nice to have. You can't drive it other than, you know, making the car sound and pushing it along. But that's, you know, you're not going to spend a lot of gas that way and you'll have some fun, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's talk tech. Of course, we've told you about Cadillac's Super Cruise system. It is potentially the best semi-autonomous driving technology out there right now. But it's got a problem. And folks over at GM want to solve this problem before they roll it out to the rest of the lineup. Right now it's on the Cadillac CT6 sedan, but they want to roll it out across the lineup in 2020, potentially across the full GM lineup. It was introduced in 2018, but the problem is there is an infrared camera mounted on top of the steering column. And its vision, for lack of a better word, gets blown out by the sun. And it gets confused and causes it to do strange things, like lose its mind, Les.
Well, now see, I could make jokes about it was designed in Detroit, where the sun only shines 39 days a year.
Okay.
But the fact is, it was well thought out. They placed the camera where they thought they wouldn't get a glare problem.
Right.
It happens.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll fix it. I predict they'll put it up behind the rearview mirror.
Okay. And there's also some talk that they might put a neutral density filter on it, believe it or not, to cut down the problem of the camera. If you remember way back when, one of the crashes that involved a Tesla, they said that a tractor trailer pulled in front of or across the road that was white. The Tesla was pointed into the sun. It couldn't distinguish between the tractor trailer and the sky, which was kind of blown out. The iris was way open, and it looked like it was a clear road, and it kept going. This sounds sort of similar to the problem that they're getting into. But I do believe they will get it worked out. It's a very cool system. It actually has a display built into the steering wheel, and it will allow you really, you know, I guess full autonomy is what we would call level 5. It certainly is approximating level 4, where you can't go to sleep or jump in the back seat, but you can certainly let the car do most of the driving for you. Early days for this. Kudos for GM for bringing it out, and I think they will get it dialed in, don't you?
Well, they will. They have to. The future of autonomy demands it.
Mm-hmm.
Level 5 is, you know, practically speaking, it's 10 years away.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, we're going to be sneaking up on it with all these technologies. I wonder why they don't tie it in parallel with the radar unit for the intelligent cruise control.
I don't know. It will be interesting to see, though, how they fix it. The article said that they probably would do some kind of filter on it or just relocate the camera. I'm sure they're testing that right now. So we will keep you up to date on Cruise Control Radio. One more time, that trivia contest question, because Pete gave it a try in California, but we want to get some more calls. What's the trivia question, Les?
We want to know who made the Avalanche pickup truck. Pretty interesting truck. Who made it?
Okay, give us a call, 844-320-4299. 844-320-4299. 844-320-4299. The toll-free number right here at Cruise Control Radio. You're on air, Automotive Magazine. Volvo announced it's going full electric with its XC40. That should debut this year. I don't think we have any range information on this, but it's sort of just more of the same, more electric vehicles coming in. As we've said, Volvo is not going to develop its internal combustion engines anymore. They're going to stick with the generation they have now, which should last another five years or so. And so they are beginning their full changeover to all electric. And it's just another model that will be coming to their lineup, the Volvo XC40. When do you think we're going to see the dam break when it comes to electric cars, Les, and more models out there? It's certainly the days of the tax rebate and that are over, I think, pretty much for those, don't you?
Yes, those days are over, but according to the SAE, and they had SAE meetings this week down in the before the show opened, they're saying 3 years before there's a sea change in range and charging speed.
All right. Certainly, we're seeing range now in the 250-mile category. We're seeing that a lot with things like the Chevy Bolt. But now, a lot of the new cars that are being planned, some are up in the 300s, and even people are turning up their nose at that, saying that's not enough. But really, the average range of a gas car is what? An average car, probably 300 miles?
About 350.
Yeah, so it's right in the neighborhood there. Hey,
and the question is, how often at one time do you drive your car 350 miles?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we have Freddie from Salinas, California on the line. I like that name, Freddie. What's going on, Salinas?
Not too much. It's starting to rain a little bit.
Starting to rain a little bit. Okay, so I guess it does rain in California. But, Freddie, so we need to know, and if you could turn your radio down a little bit to answer this, what was the manufacturer, or who manufactured the Avalanche?
I believe it's the Chevrolet. Isn't that based on Suburban?
It is Chevrolet. It was
absolutely
was based on the Suburban or Tahoe. It had the fold-down mid-gate, the short bed, and the idea was you had a short bed, but you could fold down the mid-gate and, you know, put things like ladders and other stuff inside. You're absolutely right. Pretty popular model. Les, do you remember what the Cadillac version of that was?
It was the XLT.
Okay, the XLT, another great Cadillac name.
Now, I called it the Cavalanche.
Cavalanche, okay. So, Freddie, hang on and give your name and address to Patrick, and we will get you a Hot Wheels Camaro out to you for listening and for calling in. We appreciate it.
Great, thanks.
All right, good deal. Yeah,
sure.
I remember when those things came out, as I alluded to earlier, and the people would wax that gray plastic cladding.
That's and, right. And it turned white.
Turned white, and it was terrible. It was just a sea of cladding. So, and then as the time went on, they kind of tamped that down a little bit, the level of cladding on the vehicle. And, I guess they're still out there. A lot of them are still out there. So, if I remember, the window went down electrically into the mid gate, which made it a pretty heavy gate to put down because you had electric motor and a big piece of glass. And I think you just had to, muscle that mid gate down. There was no easy way to get it down there. It wasn't like it was electrically powered or anything like that. It just kind of dropped down. But
that's right. And it had the the three bed covers that were aircraft quality aluminum honeycomb.
I remember that.
And you could jump on those and you couldn't bend them.
That's right. It's like for the person that, liked pickups but didn't really want one. That's what it was.
That's right.
That's right. All right. You're listening to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine. When we come back, I'm going to have an at-the-wheel review of the 2019 Toyota RAV4 Limited. Have a full at-the-wheel review of that. Pretty cool vehicle. A very important vehicle to Toyota. So we'll talk about that when we come back on Cruise Control Radio. Stay tuned.
Cruise Control.
And welcome back to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine. It's Fred Staub at the wheel of the Cruise Control van. Les Jackson's over there in the passenger side. We appreciate everyone calling in for that trivia contest question. Don't forget, too, you can like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. Easiest way to do that is go to Cruise Control Radio. All the links are there to the YouTube page, to the Twitter feed, to the Facebook page. Got a lot of likes on our Facebook page this week, and we really like that. We like likes, right, Les?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We enjoy that.
Yeah, so go over to cruisecontrolradio.com and you can link over there and find it all. So this week, I was driving the Toyota RAV4, the completely redesigned RAV4, Les, and gotta be, we talk about this often, vehicles that are super important to a manufacturer and how they have to do the right thing when redesigning it, because if they don't, massive money can be lost. You think of the F-150 when they redesign it. It's of at that level for Toyota. And Toyota has basically re-engineered this thing completely. There is a brand new chassis they call the TNGA-K platform, which has a longer wheelbase and wider front and rear tracks. That's the basis for this whole thing. Of course, it gets all new powertrains, all new trim levels, standard second generation Toyota Safety Sense, and I would say better or the best off-road capabilities with their multi-terrain select system than any RAV4 in the past. When the RAV4 came out originally, it was that little wagon-style vehicle. It had the spare tire on the back hatch. The hatch would open sideways. And I guess at that time it was revolutionary, but it's grown up. It's much bigger than it was when it came out 22 years ago. And this generation is pretty darn impressive. It's kind of like Toyota knew that they were the car, the beige car with the sea of plastic inside, or beige and silver interiors, and just kind of you know, safe, but, you know, the guy that wears his tie when he's sitting at home on the weekend type of vehicle. Not anymore. Toyota has kind of broken the mold and came up with this all-new RAV4. Very aggressive style in the front. It has the aggressive eye, as a lot of people call it, that kind of headlight where the top is flat and the bottom is rounded, gives it a tough look. Aggressive grille, lots of styling cues on the side, lots of, you know, creases and lines to give it real style. The back is a lot more, you know, has a lot more character to it than the old one. The old one was kind of upright and looked kind of like a bathtub. This one is a lot swoopier, rear glass tilted in a little bit, taillights stick out a little bit more. And on the inside, they've done an incredible job. You've got everything you want on the inside as far as a great JBL stereo. You know, all the controls are there, even wireless phone charging, which is really good. Just looking at some of the grades of the RAV4, there's quite the selection, frankly. There's the RAV4 Hybrid, which is not the one we drove, but that is an all-wheel drive hybrid, which is really cool. And then they have the XSE HV RAV4 with its cool kind of blacked out look and blacked out tires. The Adventure Grade, which is a little bit more what they call all-weather urban suburban. And then the one we tested, the Limited Grade, which is a little bit more luxurious. It had a standard power moonroof, 8-way power adjustable driver seat with 2-way lumbar support, and a power liftgate is standard, and digital rearview mirror, which was really good. So you really don't know you're not looking at a rearview mirror. It is actually a camera projected onto the mirror, and for all intents and purposes, you think it's a mirror, but the good thing is you don't get glare from headlights. It's better at night. It reduces eye fatigue, so we really like that. All of these RAV4s get what they call the next generation safety sense, the pre-collision system with pedestrian protection, full speed range dynamic radar cruise control, lane departure alert and steering assist, automatic high beam, lane tracing assist, and road sign assist. One of my favorite road sign assists. The stop sign's coming up. It projects it on the dash. So let me talk a little bit about the driving, my driving thoughts on this vehicle. I put it on the highway for kind of a long drive, probably about a 200-mile drive. Super quiet, great acceleration. I got 32 miles to the gallon, which is very close to the 33 it's rated at. One of the best rides of a crossover, I would say. Quiet, smooth, easy to steer. You hit bumps, it doesn't feel like it's going to go all over the place. It had a 2.5-liter four-cylinder, 203 horsepower for its powertrain. Ours was really nicely equipped, of course. The Limited starts at $34,900. The base model starts about $25,000, but this was the Limited that started at $34,900. What did we have? Well, we had the Limited grade weather package, including a heated steering wheel, perforated heated and ventilated front bucket seats, rear outboard facing reclining passenger heated seating and perforated inserts, and rain sensing variable wipers. We had the Entune 3.0 premium stereo from JBL with 11 speakers. And one of the things that I don't get about Toyota, but they don't have Android Auto capability, only Apple CarPlay. So if you have an Apple phone, that's fine. But a lot of people, practically most people, have Android phones. I don't know why they don't have Android Auto in their system. It seems like an oversight on a vehicle like this. Don't know why. I even checked the owner's manual. Navigation was doing some weird things, and I'm still not quite sure about it. I drive this route a lot, and it was giving me weird directions to get off at every exit, and I don't know whether it was trying to avoid traffic or there was a setting. I researched it a little bit. Couldn't come up with an answer for that, why it was doing it. Different than every other navigation system I've used on a variety of brands. So I'm not quite sure what to make of that. I looked at the manual. I don't see anything different than other nav systems, but it was a little bit of a concern. We also had the limited grade advanced technology package, including smart key system on all doors and lift gate, height adjustable foot activated power lift gate with jam protection, and the bird's eye view camera, which is, I love on these vehicles where it's all stitched together.
It's showing up everywhere.
You can tell where you are in parking. You know, are you close to one line or the not? Interesting, the panoramic sunroof was only a $200 option. Normally, those things are a lot higher. And carpeted floor mats and things like that. Total price has tested $39,084. Not bad, though, for a very well-equipped vehicle, unless you have an Android phone, which then you might be a little bit disappointed. You might have to factor in another $1,000 to buy an Apple phone. But great mileage, nice ride, quiet drivetrain, capable off-road. I think for the most part, Toyota has done a great job with the RAV4. That is the RAV4 Limited all-wheel drive SUV. Total price, $39,084. So, hey, we appreciate you listening to Cruise Control Radio. Don't forget to check us out at cruisecontrolradio.com, where you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. It's all there, cruisecontrolradio.com. Time for me to say, I'm Fred Staub.
I'm Les Jackson.
We're going to see you down the road.
Bye.